Greetings, friends. All throughout Scripture, a theme emerges, which is this: the synagogue of Satan persecutes the church of God. Do you know what is the synagogue of Satan? Well, it's important for us to know what is the synagogue of Satan, because we have to make sure that we're not a part of the synagogue of Satan. And in order to understand that, let's turn over to Revelation chapter 2, and we'll read verse 9. This is where Jesus is writing a letter to the church at Smyrna, and he tells them that the persecution that's going to come upon them is going to be caused by the synagogue of Satan. So let's turn over to Revelation chapter 2, and we'll read verse 9. I know the blasphemy of those claiming themselves to be Jews, but are not, but they are of the synagogue of Satan. So in order for us to really understand the synagogue of Satan, we have to know the identity of those claiming to be Jews, but who are really not Jews. Now, there's a whole bunch of crazy ideas out there about the interpretation of this scripture, but what we need to do is let scripture interpret scripture. So let's go to the scripture in Romans chapter 2, verses 11 through 29, because this, more than any other scripture in the Bible, interprets for us what is this statement, those claiming to be Jews but are really not Jews. And when we understand that, then we'll have a good idea of who the synagogue of Satan is. All right, this is Romans chapter 2, verses 11 through 29. God does not show partiality. All who have sinned apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. What does that mean? That means that there are people who did not have the law revealed to them. It was to the nation of Israel that God revealed his law. Other people did not have the law revealed to them initially. And so people sinned even though they did not know about the law. And everybody has sinned, right? God says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But a lot of people sin without knowing the law of God. But that doesn't make a difference. God still says, the wages of sin is death. All have sinned, so all will die. All right? Now it goes on to say, on the other hand, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Meaning, all of those who did have the law revealed to them, and initially, of course, that was just the nation of Israel, but all of those who have sinned knowing the law, they're going to be judged by the law, and of course, since they sinned, the law is going to condemn them to death, because God says, the wages of sin is death, and sin is the transgression of God's law. And in the next few verses, we're going to see that indeed this is talking about the Ten Commandments, but not just in the letter of the law as it was revealed to Israel. God broadens it and says that this is the Ten Commandments in the letter and spirit of the law. So this applies to everybody, not just the physical nation of Israel or the physical Jews, but to everybody. All right, now in verse 13, it says, it is not merely those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight. No, it is those who do the law. Now that blows your mind, I'm sure. That blows lots of people's minds, because people say, well, the law is done away with. So how can it be where God is saying that the righteous ones are those who do the law? Again, in verse 13 it says, it is not merely those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight. That's not the important thing, to just hear it. No, you have to do the law. If you do the law, then you will be justified. And justification means that your sins will be forgiven. God says that if you repent of your sins, meaning that you determine to turn away from breaking God's law, if you do that, then you will be forgiven of your sins. All right, now let's go to verse 14. For whenever Gentiles who do not possess the law, because they did not have the law revealed to them, whenever Gentiles who do not possess the law do instinctively what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. So now we're really beginning to understand that God is kind of putting two sides against each other. He's making a comparison. He's saying that there are people who have sinned and they didn't have the law. They're going to die regardless. There are other people who have sinned that do have the law, and they're going to die regardless. There are people who didn't have the law, and yet they do what is right instinctively. And then there are other people who do have the law who don't do what is right. All right, so that's the comparison that he's talking about. And the question is, which one is really the Jew that God is looking for? Okay, that's really the question. It says in verse 14, "For whenever Gentiles who do not possess the law do instinctively what the law requires, they are a law to themselves." So it's like as if they had the law revealed to them, even though they do not have the law revealed to them. Verse 15, "They show what the law requires is written in their hearts." That's what God says, is that we have to love him with all of our hearts and our minds. And God says that this is his love, that we keep his commandments. And he defines his love through his commandments by saying that the first great commandment is to love God with all of your heart, might, and soul. And the second commandment is to love your neighbors as yourself. And if you look at the Ten Commandments in the letter and spirit of the law, the first law teaches how to love God with all of our hearts, mind, and soul. And the last six teaches how to love our neighbors as ourselves. So he says that this law is written in their hearts. It's not just on two tables of stone. Now it's written on the heart and mind, those two tables of the heart and mind. And this is a fact to which their own consciences testify, because they do the right things and they feel good about it. Now, verse 17. "Now, if you call yourself a Jew and you rely on the law, and you boast about God, and you know his will and approve of what is best because you have been instructed in the law, and if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light to those in darkness, an instructor of ignorant people, and a teacher of infants, because you have the full content and knowledge of truth in the law, if you think you're all that in a bag of chips because you're a physical Jew, as you teach others, do you fail to teach yourself? As you preach against stealing, do you steal?" And see, that's how we know that God is definitely talking about his Ten Commandment law written in the letter and spirit of the law. "So as you preach against stealing, do you steal? As you forbid adultery, do you commit adultery? As you claim not to be an idolater, do you commit idolatry? As you boast about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law?" See, God is saying that this person who claims to be a Jew is really not a Jew, because they're not doing what a Jew is supposed to do. So, because they're not doing what a Jew is supposed to do, which is to keep God's law in the letter and spirit of the law, God is saying that that person who claims to be a Jew is really not a Jew. And then we're going to see on the other side of the table that people who may not be physically Jewish by their birth, they can still be a Jew spiritually. That's what we're going to see. All right, so this is verse 24 now. "As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." And isn't that what it said in Revelation chapter 2? It says, "I know the blasphemy of those claiming to be Jews but are not." This is the blasphemy, is that people claim to be Jews and they're not. They claim to be followers of God, but they don't follow God because they don't keep the laws of God. And God says that, "I know that you are my children if you keep my commandments." If you keep the laws of God, then you are indeed the children of God. You are indeed truly the chosen ones. But if you don't, then people, when they look at you, they're going to say, "Well, listen, if you represent God and you're doing all of this wickedness, then I don't want to have anything to do with God." So that's why God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles, because of you, you hypocrites that claim you are the people of God, and yet you break God's law. Now let's drop down to verse 27. It says, "The man who is uncircumcised physically," in other words, the person who is not a physical Jew. So the one who is uncircumcised physically, but who keeps the law will condemn you who break the law, even though you have the written law and the covenant of circumcision. So again, this comparison, that a person who is uncircumcised physically, meaning that they are not a physical Jew, but they do what a physical Jew is supposed to do, i.e. they keep the law, they will condemn the physical Jew who breaks the law. All right. Now, verse 28, very, very important. This says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. That's not what is important. That's not the true Jew that God is looking for, is one who is just a Jew because he was born a Jew. And that's why God can say, nor is circumcision something external and physical. That's not what's important. So what is the type of Jew God is looking for? We find the answer in verse 29. It says, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, and it occurs through the power of God's Holy Spirit and not simply by the written law. That's the person who will have praise from God and not from people. The one who is a Jew inwardly, in other words, a Jew through the Holy Spirit. And that's why we can use the term someone who is a spiritual Jew. And we see this further illuminated in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 12 through 16. This is where Paul is talking to Gentile Christians in Galatia, and he's warning them against the practices of the physical Jews. This is Galatians chapter 6 and verses 12 through 16. These people who want to impress others by their flesh are trying to force you to be circumcised simply to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Why? Not even those who are circumcised obey the law. They simply want you to be circumcised so that they can boast about your flesh. Far be it from me to ever boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters. What matters is being a new creation. Now, may peace be on all those who live by this principle, and may mercy be on the Israel of God. You see that term, Israel of God? Paul is using this to talk about those who are a new creation. Those are the ones who are the true Israel of God, who are the true chosen people, who are the true Jews. Those who are a new creation are those who are the true children of God, the true Jews. And those who are a new creation are those who are new because they have been baptized, and now they have been born again through the power of God's Holy Spirit. And you'll see other places in the scripture where it talks about the Israel of God and identifying that as being the spiritual Jew, the one who keeps God's commandments. You can see that in Ephesians, the second chapter, in verses 12 through 22, in Galatians, the third chapter, verses 26 through 29, and in 1 Peter chapter 2, and verses 9 through 10. So hopefully you'll come back for our next program, where we'll now explain what is the synagogue of Satan. Thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org. Or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.